I'm pansexual.
Oh, well, you're dope. You're super dope. But like bisexuals, we as the community have not treated you guys well. It's bullshit. Regardless if you're in a hetero looking relationship, does not change the fact that you still like vagina or whatever. And you know what? We are just the gay community. The LGBT community is just mean. Some mean sons of bitches.
That's true.
Did it start? Is this the recording? Oh, shit. No, but like, it is. It's like the idea. So, like, the word stud. A lot of people don't know this. And then I learned this. But, and then, like, it hit me, like, oh my God, that makes sense. Like, the word stud. It was a word made up in the black lesbian community, because the gay community as a whole, i.e. non-lesbians of color, didn't really like black lesbians. Like, we weren't included in the conversation. So next thing you know, instead of being dykes or bull dykes or butch, we started calling ourselves studs. And then, like, I remember in 2012, only hearing who's like referencing the word studs to black lesbians with, because every one of the motherfuckers had to have dreadlocks. I mean, locks, not dreadlocks. Locks.
Yeah, locks.
Everybody's got a locks. Sorry. Everybody walking around with locks. And I'm like, I can't look like a mini Little Wayne. I can't keep doing that to myself. And then now all of a sudden, like, it's crazy, because this word was created. It's like the Black Panther movement. It was created. It wasn't an action. It was a reaction to what was happening. And so, like, stud was a reaction to being ignored in the community. And then next thing you know, like, you know, what we do when they, you know, they copy, you know, color it up, colonize it a little bit, put a dash of nothing, and... And boom, bada bing, here we are, G. Who was it? There's this rapper called Toby Nwagwe, and I love his music. And in one of his songs, he says, they, something about, like, we keep it, they don't talk to us until they need a new trend, but we keep it greasy like poached eggs. And so, like, the idea, like, they don't pay attention to us until we can give them something they want. And then it's like, oh.
What's happening on TikTok?
Oh, my God. First to fuck off, fuck TikTok, because it's so damn racist.
Yeah,
oh,
it is.
My God.
And they won't include black people in the conversation on TikTok.
And not just black people. We're going to say it. Black women. Like, it's crazy. I was talking to you, Aisha, about we don't talk enough in the black community about the hatred towards black women. Like, unpopular opinion, no black girl and black woman is safe in the ghetto. 100. Everybody was talking about the little black boys that get shot and killed and jumped in the gang. But guess what? That happens to us, plus rape. Plus being sexualized, plus being kidnapped and murdered, because we're the least likely to be found, because nobody cares, because who gives
That's
a damn
about black people? Fact. I mean, look at the Gabby Petito case right now. Yeah. Like, oh, look at how much press coverage that's getting right now, when there are so many people of color who have gone missing that get no press coverage, or minimal, at least not this international coverage.
And the let's talk, like,
right.
And if you're an indigenous woman, do you even exist?
Right.
Do you even live, bro? Like, that's what it feels like when it comes to them. So, like, I was saying on TikTok, it's like, let me see, like, a lot of black men hate black women. It's
the thing.
But it makes sense, because I remember I told you I saw something that was like, black men are just white men or night mode.
There's this guy that I used to work with at my job, who sat, like, in, we have like a 4-desk cubicle, and he sat behind me in the cubicle, and he was always very open about the fact that he preferred white women, But in doing so, he just bashed black women, and that's what they do. They'll be like, yes. They'll be like, white women are better because of X, Y, and Z. Black women suck. They'll just like dish on black women, yes. And it's like, we don't care if you date outside your race. That is your prerogative. Nobody cares. But in doing so, you don't have to bring down black women as well. That doesn't make any sense.
You know what? You know what's not also talked about? Because like, and I say this because intersexuality, as black women, side quest, as black women, because we are low on the totem pole, we're able to see all sides of oppression. That's why we're always the first person somebody runs to, because we can understand. We can not only understand, feel, and eat the pain, because that's what we've been doing since the dawn of fucking time. But we don't talk about the fact that, yes, a lot of things happen with white women, but like, we don't talk about the fetishization of white women. Like, that's in the community. Imagine, think about this. No one's allowed to say anything about black women in rap songs, but how many rappers, hip hop artists, we've heard to refer to white women in their music? Snow Bunnies. The Baby had a song. He's like, today I'm a dressed Republican. Go get some head from a white man's daughter. Her lips are thin, but I'm loving it. In the song of Gas Pedal, he's like, got two white hoes, call them bitches both Slim Shady. Like, it's because like I said, when you remove, if you remove the enemy, the cis heterosexual white man, what do black men end up doing? Just replacing. You just replace what was removed, because everybody wants, nobody cares about the slave, but everybody wants to fuck the master's daughter. And what was a symbol in the community when boxers in the 1920s, the first heavyweight champion, this black man, I can't remember, pissed all the white people off because he was wearing fur coats. He had the best expensive car and a white woman, because white women are seen as trophies. And so we don't talk about the fetishization about them, because other white women make it kind of hard to sympathize. But it's like, how do we know you're not over there in a relationship with a black man because you love him, or because he's with you because he's a status? Kanye West. And when he gets on, he'll leave your ass for a white girl. Mm. Why? They said it in rap songs. Like, I want the blonde and blue eye because guess what? I'm going to be the reason why I fuck up your bloodline. Nobody wants to that one drop rule. How is it we know as a white woman, when you're dating somebody of color, they're not doing it just as a proof of point. Like, ha, look what I did. I've been fucking these white women like they've been fucking my people. It's just, it sucks. It sucks, because it's like, you guys have an issue too. So, and then that issue affects us even harder, because then black women, we're just angrier, because like, what the fuck? You want to know what it feels like to be a black woman? The ending of 12 Years a Slave, when homeboy had his white savior come find him and show his free papers. And where was Lupita's character standing? At the end, with her back and skin and blood exposed and flesh. And that is how, and with the angry white man getting on his horse saying, I'ma get you back, nigga. She's still there. And he was reunited with his family after all these years, because we will burn down cities for a black man. And then we don't talk about, like I said, in the black community, like, ain't nobody seen The Color Purple? Oh, but they don't wanna have that conversation. We don't have the conversation about the pedophilia that goes on there, the abuse, the like Oprah, when she's like, I had to fight my daddies, I had to fight my brothers, I had to fight my uncles. A girl child not safe in a family full of man folk. That was a movie about a black woman saying how hurt she was. But, you know, just like R. Kelly's, you know, step in the name of love.
So, are we doing the intro now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hi. Hi there. Welcome to Goodreads Better Friends.
My name is Aisha.
My name's Morgan.
And we have our guest. That was Letitia.
What's up, everybody?
I feel like just about everyone who listens knows Letitia. And yes. It's like, of course you started your intro 5 minutes and 10 minutes in.
Yes. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
No, it's good. Like I said, it's quality content.
That's good. Like, content people need to hear.
It's
stuff that needs to be heard. And now everybody knows what to expect from this episode. Okay. It's going to be some rock hard stuff for sure.
Fuck R. Kelly. I said his name, the song in the beginning. I just wanted to say fuck R. Kelly. Go ahead.
Can I chastise my dog really quick?
Yes.
Bella, please. Bella.
God damn it.
Bella.
Please tell me the cat's name Sierra.
My dog's name is Bellatrix.
Bella. Oh, wow. Listen, you just gave me two things and both that are non sequitur and both resonated with my soul. From Bella to Beatrix. Only a black nerd. Only a black nerd. And Morgan.
All right, let's get this started.
So, our guest today, Letitia, is an amazing poet. We met her at the Dayton Poetry Slam. All of her poetry is fire, honestly.
It's so good. It's so freaking good. It's very powerful.
She has
Aisha. God damn it.
Aisha's an excellent poet as well.
Morgan, shut up. Like you ain't can't do nothing either, girl.
I can't do poetry. I have other.
She can, talent. And I'm going to get her on the stage.
Yes, the fuck you will.
I'm working on it.
Because that's what black women do. That's what we do. Say that, Aisha.
Mother. Yes.
Mm. It's giving me little Nas X.
I love him. He's my hero.
Oh my god, his album is fire, bitch.
It is. The whole thing is good.
Ooh, I was in the shower like, scoop. Makes me want to take two more showers just for it.
Yeah, just
I throw the titty in the circle. It's like, scoop.
All right. Go ahead to what you were saying.
Letitia wrote and released a book of poetry. Was it this past year?
It was in 2019.
Yeah, 20, my book says 2021 in the March. Back, but that might just be when this one was printed. Yes. But yeah, it was released in 2019.
Yes.
It's called Raw Poetry Made from Scratch. And in case I haven't said her last name yet, it's Letitia Ellis. So
thank you.
Welcome, Letitia. Both of us read this book and it's very good.
Yes, we did.
It's very good. And I was able to like hear all of the poems with your voice reading it in my head.
Yes. Oh, that's so fire. That's dope. That's so cool. That's fucking cool. Oh my god, y'all making me blush.
You can't see it,
but I am blushing.
Do you want to start off by telling us about like the process of writing and publishing your own book of poetry? Like, that's impressive as heck.
Well, first of all, thank you. You guys, the introduction was super fire. I'm feeling like Angela Bassett over here. I said, plug to American Horror Story. My name is Letitia Ellis. I'm a thespian, you know. I can be an extra. You want me to scoop some butter? I can do that. the writing process. So, like, when I was really young, I wanted to be a writer. You know what I mean? I wanted to be like Stephen King, but without all the 30,000 details. Like, sir, why do we need 30 pages of why the blade of grass is green? If you don't get to the dead boy in the closet, if we don't just
go. Magic the lamp. Ridiculous.
The bead was brass brown, almost like a cocoa ball from which he used to eat as a child. You know, when I was a child, shut the fuck up. God damn. So I wanted to be a writer, and I have ADHD, and we are more conscious and aware in mental health, which is, I am just so proud, because the younger, like Gen X and then down, we're just like, especially the babies, the Zoomers, they're just like, we're going to talk about it. I hate life. You know what? We're like, you know, we kind of hate it too. But instead of just hating it, let's talk about why we hate it so we can hate it less. Because like my goal, I changed my motto of my life this year. And it's, I refuse to die hating my life. Mm. As much as things do suck, let's do as much as we possibly can to not make it suck. You know, even environment, you know, eco-conscious. We have to think as if everything we're doing can dramatically and radically change the world. But at the same time, be humble and know, like, you may not change the world, but you doing your part contributes to that. You know what I mean? And so, I don't, oh, ADHD. See? Goddamn. And so, I was young and my mom was abusive. And I remember I wrote this amazing story, and it was about the Antichrist and how, you know, he's this kid and he was an Antichrist, and that he found out that he's the Antichrist, but instead of fighting, you know, becoming the Antichrist, he's like, I'm going to fight for the good side. And like, it was so compelling. And I wrote like 12 pages of it, and it was just for an English class, only needed to be 3, but I'm writing a novel, goddammit. And my mom, being the devout Christian that she was, she came into my room and found it and tore it up and tore up my rough draft. So I had 4-5 pages of like 1 and 8 and 19 and 3. And like, I just remember crying and turning it in. And I think from that trauma in my brain, from that trauma coupled with my ADHD, I was just like, I no longer want to be a writer. We're done. Oh yeah, Gen Z. They make us more aware of our mental health. So I've learned that a lot of the stuff that's happened in my life is not my fault. Because that's not just how my brain is wired. It's not that I'm careless. I literally, once it's not in my hand, it's gone. Mm-hmm. We have that with, like, I didn't even know we do that with people. And like, for a long time, I felt bad for not responding or for not talking. You know, I make friends easily and then I don't talk to them. But it's because they're not so active in my life that they just disappear. Mm-hmm. So,
permanence. I feel that.
You feel me? And yeah, so, like, definitely. My brain was like, I don't want to be a writer no more. And then I shot myself. And then I went to the penitentiary, which, by the way, are terrible. And we should look at rehabilitation in so many different ways. It's systematic oppression has just bled and fed the belly of capitalism for so goddamn long. Mm-hmm. And America is only doing what they do to their problems. They lock people up so we can forget about them. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to me, I know side quest, but it's crazy to me that in different states, if you are a felon, you can't vote, but you still taxing me? Mm-hmm. Didn't they make a big fuss about no taxation without representation? It's almost as if they were purposely marginalizing a group of people that will never have power. Mm-hmm. I went to prison, and this amazing lady named Heidi Arnold, she was my teacher. She's from Sinclair. She's amazing. She does a lot of work in the prisons. Heidi, I fucking love you, bitch. And that's how I talk. And she was my interpersonal communication teacher. And she had this paper and it had 3 bubbles. And it said, where are you from? And I put in each bubble, like, you know, some shit from where I'm from. And when I turned it into her, she looked at it. And in the class, she stopped me. And she was like, do you know this is a whole poem? And I was like, ah! I was just writing. I was doing the assignment. I'm just glad not to be in my cell. And she was, so she encouraged that. And so then I started writing more. And then when I got out, she saved all my poetry and she helped me publish my book. It took 4 to 6 hours. And most of it was because I didn't know what the hell I was doing on my phone. I didn't know how to work that thing. And I'd be like, Heidi, help me. I'm like, I'm going to send it to you. And then she'll send it back. And I was like, no. And so, like, it's been pretty rad to just as, oh, and it sucks because, like, Amazon is, but they give, it's like they offer so many good things, like free book publishing. Because you know what? When you think about it, just like music, why should you pay to read? Like, not, you should pay somebody for their art. But, like, If you're distributing something, like, it's art. I'm gonna set my art out. It's gonna cost me a lot of money to put my art out there. Well, if you're trying to give a gift to the world, shouldn't the world help you at least make it easier to help people access that gift?
Right.
And yeah. So like, boom, you got some words to say, Amazon, we'll publish you. And it's like, capitalism. And
yes.
So So I'm published on Amazon and it was such a wicked feeling. And like that picture of me on the back is the picture she took in the office that day when we were publishing in this book. She was like, we need a cover. And I was like, all right. And I'm like,
That's such a perfect picture of you, though. Like, I think it sums up your personality very, very well.
We found that we did that picture and the cover the same day. Everything you're holding happened the same day.
I love this painting. This Van Gogh painting.
Yes. Well, I didn't even, so like, it, okay, what's crazy is I wanted something that had something to do, it said raw, poetry made from scratch. So like, what is poetry made from? The soul. And so like, I wanted to embody something about the body. And somehow, so we're Heidi's like, I'm like, well, there's something about like skeletons or whatever. Like, let's do skeletons. And I see this skeleton smoking a cigarette, and I'm like, this is fire. Click it. It wasn't until later, months later, that I realized it was a Van Gogh painting. What did Van Gogh do, you guys? What did he do at the end?
Killed himself? Did he?
Yeah.
I know he had severe mental health issues for sure. Yes,
but he killed himself. I picked a oh my god, hi baby. I picked a painting of a man who shot him, who killed himself, which is the reason why I went to prison for putting a bullet in my chest, because I was trying to kill myself. I didn't even like connect. Oh no, I was like, well, hi Van Gogh. You and I are alike. Not really. I'm keeping my ear, bitch.
That was a synchronicity, though. That was meant to be. That's why that picture called to you, for sure.
Oh, that's death and rebirth and nicotine.
So I was going to ask then, you said you filled out the questionnaire about where you were from, and it was Heidi, you said?
Yes, yes.
Heidi said that's a poem. So was that the base for your poem?
Where I'm from? Yes, yes. Yeah. So that poem is literally the first poem I ever wrote. Yes, in prison, when she encouraged me, she was like, hey. And so the first half of it is from the bubble. And then the rest of it is just when I was like, she was like, go and fill in the blanks, finish it. It's a poem. And then I made it a rest of the poem. I think after the little boy named Trey plays, when it gets to the line and a little boy named Trey plays basketball all night, that's when I started to write it. But everything else before that was in the bubble.
That's amazing.
You know, the smell of cotton beans. And all, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to know what's inspired you to write and continue writing.
I'm going to sit down a little bit because I ain't got Megan Thee Stallion knees.
Have you been standing this whole time?
No. I'm just short.
No. Well, you said you're gonna sit down. I thought maybe you'd been standing.
Oh, I wish I would. Oh, why did I do? Oh my god, I just folded my knees and they crack. Hands on my knees, shake my ass. I'm like, ouch, shit, ow. All right, so what are the questions?
Okay, what has inspired you to write and continue writing?
What inspires a person to wake up every day? What inspires a person to be a parent? What inspires a person to love a plant? Like, what motivates you to drive a car? Poetry has become, it's like, so like, I feel like the conversation around art, so like there was this organization I was part of called Returning Artist Guild. And like, art was how we rehabilitated ourselves. How, because the prison system. That is garbage. Isn't helping. I'm mad as fuck about that. Capitalism. And it was like it's to the point where, and Aisha can, you can attest, and I know Morgan can, bitch, but I know Aisha can confess that, like, you can, you know how they say like writer's block? I don't believe in writer's block. I don't think that's a thing. I feel like just like any art form, any real art, any true art, it comes at a whim. And so it's like, if you're not, you're living your life. Your life isn't poetry. So if you're having writer's block, or it's not because you can't come up with any ideas, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just live. And then your brain pulls fragments and moments and taste and sound and touch and all of these things and creates it for you. It's like breathing. Poetry is breathing. And so sometimes I stop breathing, which is a bad thing. It's a very bad thing. But and then out of nowhere, I'm sitting down and I've wrote Black Bones. Out of nowhere, I'm sitting, Aisha's sitting down and she's writing a point of view from a fat girl on TikTok. Mm-hmm. That was a fire fucking piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Bitch was spicy. That was spicy. Uh-huh. You didn't think I was going to do that when I did, no. spicy. And it's just, and I think that goes into what keeps me going, what keeps me writing, because I don't always write. I don't always write, and that sucks sometimes, because like there'll be moments where I really feel like I could pick up something right now. Mm-hmm. I could pick up something right now. You know what I mean? But it's like, it almost feels like I'm holding my breath. Poetry is exhaling and inhaling. Mm-hmm. I inhale creativity, I exhale a poem. And sometimes it's like holding your breath. You feel it and you want to do it, but it's just not the right time. And then out of nowhere, you wrote a book. Out of nowhere, you painted the 16th chapel. Yeah. out of nowhere, you become Norman freaking Rockwell. Like, you know, some of the greatest poets that we know, half their work was published when they died, when they didn't want people mm-hmm. to know about it. Emily Dickinson, I know we talked about that. Like the fact that she has, you know what? I take that back. Because that comes from that hetero-washed history, saying that she was a recluse because she never married and she was a finster. No, that bitch was a dyke. She was getting down. Okay, she was on her L word shit. and now that I say it, like, do we know that she really didn't want her shit published? Or was that, you know, the narrative that we were told? But let's say she did. Let's say that the narrative was told that she didn't want it to be shared. That meant Emily Dickinson just wrote poetry to write it. Which meant she didn't just live her life to write. She write because she had to live.
That's a good point,
you know.
And so
like, this is great content. I know you were thinking it. I was gonna say it. But you said it. But like the fact that she didn't even want her work published, what meant that she did it because she had to, because mm-hmm. poetry was breathing. Art is breathing. You know what I mean? It's like artists who have retired multiple times from the music industry and then come back because you can't not. It's like people who play music in dive bars for 40 to 50 years, never making it big because that's how they breathe. Mm-hmm. And so that's what poetry is. I'm always inspired. My brain is always taking these moments. But what keeps me going is keeping me breathing. I have to live in order to create. I can't create to live. So there you go.
There we go. That's a good answer.
That's great.
You said that you had been inspired. You'd love literature and been inspired by it from a young age. Would you mind sharing some of your like earliest favorite books or authors or any of that with us, just early literature that really got you psyched about everything?
So shout out to the Black kids who read big books and didn't have the same vernacular as all the other Black kids, but was told they weren't Black enough and were told by the white kids they weren't Black. Shout out to the Black kids who were bumping, you know, Master P and the 504 Boys while reading a manga. Like, shout out to those anime kids who was also crip walking. Like, so with that being said, Black excellence, as you will. I remember I was really into Stephen King. Listen, I don't know what happened. I think it was my Black mama, Benita Jesus. It's like I grew into my Black mama fear. Like, I love watching horror movies and like fucking The Exorcist was my favorite movie. I didn't care. I was like, look at that bitch turn her head. A bitch turned 23 and was like, what's that? In the name of Jesus, I bound that up in the Holy Ghost. I don't even believe in the Christian God, okay? And they I'd be like, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I put the blood, heat the butter. I will speak in tongues so goddamn fast. Hold on. Aisha. So there's this guy I was working with at work. He's a black cook, and his name is Jensen. He's fucking cool. And he was telling me that they did a study, and it has something that black people are inherently spiritual. And, like, he's told me this because he walked in, and, like, he knows, like, I'm very spiritual. I believe in spiritualities and all this stuff. I just don't subscribe to the Christian God. You can if you want to. I grew up apostolic, baby. Don't, okay? My mama was Sister Bonita, okay? Sister Bonita. And so, and he said that when he came in, because I needed to reach something, and he came in, I was like, oh, thank you, God. And he told me, he was like, even though you don't believe in God, in the Christian God, you still called out because something in you knew that something bigger than you was there. And it was like, it is linked to we have always been connected somehow to something deep within, like it was some type of science shit. I don't fucking know. Science-y black people. So I don't know how the hell we got. Oh, so yeah, Stephen King. So I loved ADHD. Ah, I'm sorry. I love you guys. Thank you. So I was really into his short stories, and my favorite one was The Skeleton Key. And there was this girl.
I've read that one.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I've come to a point. If something happens to me, it's because that's what the universe wants, but I am made of light. I have hot sauce in my bag and eclipse water in my jar, my altar. So I am about that life and them crystals, bitch. Anyway, I am light. Nothing dark can live in me. So why am I even talking? So there was this one story that fucked me up as a kid, y'all. So it was a short story about this guy and his wife. And he went to the bathroom, and in his sink, in the little drain, this little finger, just right here, was just there. And each day the finger grew. But it stopped. That was it. It stopped at the knuckle. And he was like telling his wife, and his wife would never see it. And so then, like, one day she went to the store or something, and he tried to pull the finger out the sink. So, and then tried to cut it out to the point where, like, the finger was the size of 8 shacks and shit. And there was blood everywhere, and this, that, and the third. And, like, that was real. You could see it. And he kind of went mad. I don't know. But it was like, it the detail, so much of it, and just how he was able to grip us. And it was like, I've been a big believer, words are like poets and writers. We make words people. We personify them. We give them life. You don't just read the word run. You are running. You are watching this word live on the page. And that is how stories and poems captivate you, how music captivates you, because music is words still, just in a melodic flow with music behind them. But at the end of the day, sometimes it has words. It helps you paint a picture. It was just so amazing reading these books. And then I read John Grisham, The Pelican Brief. That was fire. Love The Pelican Brief. The December Door by Dean Koontz. Oh my God, that book had me fucked up. I remember being in the seventh grade, just stressed out all the time with that book. Cause I'm like, is she gonna get, what's going on with the little girl? Oh my God, you don't know this guy yet? Like, I swear, I got scared. See, almost said in the blood of Jesus. can we just talk about how, like, graphic Christianity is? Like, when you, even the songs sound kind of like, cover me in the blood. You mean to tell me we're eating the body of Christ and we're drinking his blood, but somehow some woman dancing naked in the woods is praying to the devil? Hold on. Can she just be vibing?
Can she just be vibing?
Are you mad because she vibing and you not? What? Anyway, so one of the books that, like, I guess I really remember enjoying was The Odyssey. I read it in like fifth grade or some shit. And like, Odysseus pissed me off. So he was just around slinging dick and shit. And then he just come home to his lonely wife who's just been sitting there waiting for him on the shore. And he was like, what's up, bitch? I'm back. Like, bro, like you didn't have a whole orgy with Calypso for like 7 years or something. Like you were just on the island like, no pussy. Like what? You know what? You know, I kind of just want the same one. Like, I ain't had that in a while. It's been like 20 years. I bet it's right. I bet it ain't nobody touch it. Got that snap back. You know? And it's like, but like, I've always been in love with Greek. Got that snap back. That ancient whop.
I request to have a YouTube channel of her describing books. Yes. That's the whole thing. That's all about it. It's just her describing books.
Oh my god, I can totally do that. All right, today we're gonna read this. The next video. So y'all, let me tell you about this dude. Apparently he sparkles. I think he went to the strip club for real. But he sparkles and shit. Ain't no motherfucker spark. Let me tell you about millennial vampires. We don't sparkle. We kill. Okay? What the fuck is that? Nigga walking out like he's, if you don't take your real Slim Shady, please stand up somewhere. Okay. And then we got Bella Swan. First of all, her dad is stupid. Like, bitch, what? And then you just gonna find out your best friend's a werewolf and we just gonna ignore that? Like, that's a whole story. So let's do that. Like, y'all, we never dived in that. The dad, how would you feel if you found out your, like, best friend forever in a wheelchair has just been, like, the leader of the wolf pack? Like, like right now, you turn around, Morgan's like, sup, bro? And she looking like fucking Luke, fucking Wolverine over here. Yes! And you just gonna be like, so anyway. You're grounded. What the fuck? Like, get the fuck out of here. And then we ain't gonna talk about the fact that it's clearly paraphilia. Why are you parading to be a 16-year-old boy when you 200 years old, sir? Mm-hmm. That's nasty. Why are you preying on them high school bitches? Mm-hmm. What? He don't love you, bitch. He don't love you. He's grooming you. I would. Mm-hmm. Yes! Oh, look at my nails, bitch! Yes! Yes! It's giving me, I don't give a fuck, I love it! Yes! It's alive! I was really in love with mythology. Because mythology, yes, they're poems. They're like, oh my god. And like side quests, I really wish I could have gotten into a lot of like Caribbean and different African gods mythology. I wish I could have gotten into African lore like that. As much as I did in Greek and Roman, then a little bit of North. They were off. But like that wasn't offered.
I didn't even know that there were voodoo gods and goddesses until I was like 25. I'm only 27. I did not know that gods and goddesses existed in voodooism because they never ever taught that.
The only way you would know that is if you stayed enough and watched enough movies where the villain is a voodoo man in a top hat.
And I actually wrote a poem about that in 20, I think last year.
You need to reread it. Oh my god, you need to read it at a slam, bitch. Oh my god. You read it and I will do, if you read your one about, or I counter that. If it's not what I think I'm going to say it is, oh my god, right now you and I should do a piece together. Not like now, but we need to work on it. One could do the perspective as oh my god, so I just got done watching The Coven, right? Of Ahab.
Yeah. Where is your head?
Oh no, we're gonna get back to there's all this that's coming to it. But you've seen The Coven, right? A American Horror Story.
Yes.
Remember the devil from he was the voodoo devil, he was the African. Mm-hmm. So like from the perspective of we could write a poem from the perspective of Angela, like a black woman, a voodoo woman, you know, a voodoo witch, a priestess. And the devil or whoever, whatever voodoo god, looking at Black people now, watching Black people from the times we were put on the ships to the times of now, having a whole conversation and something about if we lost them, if they've lost their magic or are they gaining it back? Because we always say we are not, because Black people were the first ones to say we're not our ancestors. You damn right, because I got shit done. Last time I checked, you couldn't sit next to Morgan if motherfucking Mammy, Papa Jammy, wasn't fucking running that Harriet motherfucking Tubman road, okay? Harriet Tubman kept a pistol on her. They didn't teach us that. They didn't tell us that Harriet Tubman kept a gun on her and she kept it not just to, just in case shit, but because if any of the freed slaves decided to go back, you were already a slave then. You would never not be a slave. If you are stuck here, so you can die by this pistol, you can go. So anyway, mythology and everything in Greek mythology has a story, from the flowers to the reason why we have a butterfly to the goddamn spider. And I just drunk that, like that, the like it was beautiful, like the story of why we have a purple rose or arachnia, or and like it made you look at things differently, like Medusa. Evil villain or a rape victim?
Rape victim, 100%. I love Medusa.
Yeah, that's my bitch. Yeah. That's my bitch.
My favorite in the entire Greek mythology universe. I love Medusa.
Tell me men hate women without telling me they hate women. Literally. We turned the woman into a rape victim and made her the monster. Mm-hmm. Like, boy, if you don't get your ass out of here, I'd be like, come here, Medusa, let me sliver next to you. I mean, like, I mean, talking, because I would talk to the snakes. I'd be like,
sure. That's what you meant.
I know Lord Harry Potter. What's up, baby? What's up? They like her kids. You get in with the kids, you good. What's up, Medusa? I can rock glasses. I can be the Stevie Wonder that you need. What's up, baby? Oh, let me feel that titty. Oh my gosh, she could totally be with somebody blind, y'all. She could be with somebody blind because they could never see her. Bat! Bats! We just solved it. Medusa, you can't have love. You can find it. It's just got to find you.
Now you got to write the story.
Yeah.
Now you got to write it.
There you go. There's your prompt.
You beautiful goddesses. I'm about to eat that shit up. You're about to laugh because when I come onto the stage... Trust me, I'm coming with some new comment. I didn't get to go the other night. I started my period today, girl. I got me a large chai tea inside my ass. Damn.
Yes.
But, oh, that's good. Okay, you go. I'm going to be up there and I'll be like, she wondered if she could find love. Star, cold, always squirming in her sleep until her lover reached over. Blind as a sheep. Sheep are blind. What does that even mean? Shout out to my blind people because I love y'all. I don't know what to say. Y'all the only ones that could bag Medusa and I'm pissed. Like,
you can pull an Oedipus and like gouge your eyes out. You know how she takes the pics and gouge like them because he realized he was, incesting with his mother. So she gouged her eyes out so she could unsee it. You could do that if you want to.
Two things. One, is she thick? If Medusa is thick, we can work it out.
Medusa has snakes, so she's probably a Black woman. So she's probably thick with.
She's thick as a motherfucker! Goddamn! Not unusual to smack that ass when I won't. All you hear is cheeks claps, and I love that. You know what makes me mad? People never talk about the appetitus. That nigga.
Oedipal complex.
Yes. No. Yes. Oh my God. Why is it okay? Why is it? How does society? Tell me your government. Your society doesn't hate women. Well, tell me they hate women. Somehow we made daddy issues the girl's fault.
Like,
it's your fault that you had a no shit parent. But somehow, like a person with mommy issues, the mom's the like super monster. Why? And then why is it equated to sex? You ready for this? I'm about to do this. I'm about to hit y'all with this. You ready? You ready for what I'm about to head on y'all? So, women, we've been conditioned, because I'm a lesbian, I'm stud, you know, even I, from time to time, have enjoyed it, although I've always been against it. The idea of calling somebody daddy, it's always been weird to me. Well, why is that? You know, why are we calling you? Because it's not normal to be like, yeah, mama. Oh, mama. That's weird. See, that even sounds weird. You listening to it made you uncomfortable, made your nipples go inside. Okay. I know. And I feel like what happened is the way the word daddy entered the sexual realm is because some broken young girl who was looking for replacement of love from the man who was, you know, obligated to love and be there. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she found somebody, and that person, that man, despicable, was just like, I'll be your daddy. And then she went around calling him daddy, people realizing that's not daddy. And now all of a sudden it's cool to be daddy. It's, you know, call me daddy. No, bitch, your name ain't Sylvester Barnhill. Who are you? And why are we talking about him in bed? Pull my panties up. Get off me, sir. Like, but think about that. Like, and so once again, daddy issues are equated to a girl being really freaky in bed. Why? That is weird. Why is so weird? You don't create mommy issues. You said your dude has mommy issues, and he's like, he's got commitment issues. He
probably and that's true. Him. A lot of times when guys have mommy issues, they have commitment issues. And they say when women have daddy issues, they're more promiscuous. And but it's the same thing essentially. So why is one looked down upon, whereas the other is like praised?
And why is it? Why is a lack of a father linked to a woman wanting to have more sex? I'm sorry, but like, I my mom was a single mother up until I was 9, and I wasn't throwing the pussy to nobody. Like, I'm not, you know, my mom met my dad, but like, I still didn't have a father for a while. And even though Sylvester is my father, I don't know who my sperm donor is. But it's like, I didn't grow up fast. It's like, it comes from the sexualization of women and Black women, Black girls in communities, because it's our fault if we get raped from the creepy uncle. We invited R. Kelly to the cookouts, and instead of telling him no, we told the kids to stay away from him. And if they got touched, well, you know, it's your fault. You know how he is. No, it is not normal to get molested and raped by people you know, by anybody. That shouldn't be normal. That shouldn't be okay. And so, daddy issues. So anyway, you know, I love this fact that just Greek mythology had all these stories and Romans, and here we are, you know, boom. I told you, we're going to get back in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said, we're going to get back in the car. Okay. I have a question for you.
Answer.
This might be broad. I don't know.
I am broad.
I probably should have narrowed down, but I'm just going to say it. How do you think you've grown as a person over the last couple of years? Maybe we can talk about it specific to the pandemic if that's shorter, but just like, how do you feel like you've grown?
I'm more self-aware. A lot of stuff happened. And I guess I will say the pandemic really helped sit down a lot of stuff, not just like economy wise and like how healthcare should never be a goddamn business, and that you don't have to work 40, you shouldn't have to work 80 hours a week and 3 jobs in order to, you know, eat and pay rent at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I've like realized like a lot about me and like my relationships and the fabrics of it. And like, when it comes to like romantic relationships, like I look at my ex and my relationship and like realize, you know, I wasn't always the protagonist. You know, and the idea of like, the reason why I didn't have boundaries is because I was never allowed to have them. I went from an abusive home to like a short period of time living on my own to prison. And then, you know, so then you have school in the middle. So it's somebody else's rules, somebody else's rules, somebody else's rules. And like, changing the narrative on how we talk about children. Because children, you're not raising kids, you're raising adults. And the moment people realize that, they can realize how they affect these adults. Like, I hate when people say, well, you don't know, you don't have kids. Well, I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
As you were. And so I do think I have firsthand experience. And if we all sitting here joking about how fucked up we are, I wonder what happened. I wonder why some of us don't know when to stop eating or what is too much, because we were told you finish what you have on your plate. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know when to, now I don't know when to stop eating, because I you know, my belly said I was full, but I was told that I wasn't. You know, just unlearning behaviors and my concept of money. Like, you know what? The whole grind culture is so toxic. This hustling culture is so toxic. Mm-hmm. I had a friend, Margaret. Shout out, Margaret, bitch. I love you. I can't wait for you to make my vegan chocolate cake. she said something about, I said, you know, I was going on my spiel about capitalism. And she said, well, you have to have a job. And like, I thought about it. You do. In society, in order, you know, if you end up doing what you love, if you like cooking food for people, you know, it does help. You know, you have to have farmers. Like, you, it's like a socialist society. You need moving parts that move the parts. However, you shouldn't have to dedicate 85% of your life to those parts. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what we do. The concept of how long, you know, the fact that it's about, well, you hadn't stayed long at this job, you know, why should we hire you? Why is longevity stuck connected to, that's like an abusive parent. Mm-hmm. Because I stuck and suffered is why, no. If it doesn't serve me anymore, then bitch, it don't serve me. I will hop, skid, and jump. Like, I refuse to be uncomfortable anymore. Mm-hmm. I refuse to make myself uncomfortable for other people's comfortability.
Yeah. And
you feel me? And so that's, we were talking,
philosophy of living.
No, say that. Like, fuck you. And fuck your capitalism. Hold on. So and so we were talking about it. And god damn it, this is, hold on. We were talking about capitalism. Hold on. Oh, so I said something about it, you know, your dream job. We're raised to believe, like, the first thing that you're asked as a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's already connected to a job. You're already told from the moment you're born that you have to contribute, and you should not have a dream job. I do not dream of working and being a slave.
That's it.
And so, oh, that son of a bitch. God damn it. And so, I did that thing where I put the phone down and they were like, oh, you're done? Let's go back to the beginning of time. They'd be like, you are a whore. Oh, so then she said, there are no dream jobs, just jobs. Assuming you can find a dream job is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow. Like, I already have my perspective on working and money, but like I want to start making content for certain things. But now I don't want to make it to make money. If I make money off of it, that's great. Cause she loves doing photography and she's so good at it. And she said, I was like, you should do something with it. And she says, I do it for fun. Cause the moment I do it for money is the moment it becomes a job.
That's true.
That's why, like, I didn't major in music. My whole family expected me to. I've been a vocalist my whole life. And
I bet you are, bitch.
I was, like, my family encouraged me to major in music, and I was going to, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, music is the comfort of my life. It's something that brings me joy. It's something that calms my nerves. And if I turn that into a job, am I going to have that anymore? And I went to Wright State for a year, and I wasn't even majoring in music, but I was just in the choir there, and their whole music program there is so competitive and wrought with tension, and just like every performer hates the other performers, and that's, oh my God, just like a toxic environment. And I was just like, this is why I didn't want to major in music performance, because this is what my life would be. You know, if I had tried to go on and be a professional performer, it would have been auditions and competition and misery all the time. And that's not how I wanted to live my life. Music has always been something that brings me joy. I don't want to take that out of it. So, not to switch it to me, but just, that's what I mean. Like, that's why, you know.
Sacrificing your self-esteem, your mental health, your emotional health.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
That's why I like the fact that like, I have a job that pays me well that I am not in any way, shape, or form passionate about, mm-hmm. but it mm-hmm. gives me enough money to survive.
Yes.
And it gives me enough time to absorb what I like. So, like, I'm about to start a gamer channel just because I got no
idea. Yes! Let me know so I can follow you, bitch!
I have 3 podcasts, and then I've been trying to learn instruments. But, like, the fact that I have time to do that is what makes me happy, because it's not something that I, like, it's probably not something I'll ever, like, make money from, but it's just something fun to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's a passionate thing.
And if you happen to make money from it, great. But right. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, I'm not going to be, if somebody reads my book for free, that makes me happy. If somebody pays me to read my book for free, same energy. Actually, I don't know. Same energy. Yep. Same energy, but with things. Same energy, but now I have a fungal pop. and so, like, my concept of, like, money changed too. Cause, like, fungal pop. Yes, bitch. I got a him fungal pop. If it wasn't locked away somewhere, I would totally show it on this podcast, bitch, next time.
I have a whole bunch in my den.
Okay. Why haven't we hung out yet? You introverted bitches. Okay. I get it. That's true. That's true. I like books. You met me. I'm fun. I can sit down. I can be quiet. but like, so like we live in hustle culture. Everything is a grind. No, it's not a flex that you haven't slept in 4 days and that you haven't been home and you've been drinking Red Bull since you woke up and you have 80 up. No, that's not a flex. That is hold on, stay on point. So money. So like, if you have all this money, you have like $300 and 200 of it, 250 of it went to all bills. And so of course now we have to save and scrounge this $50 and hold on to it until we get paid again. Guess what my black ass gonna do? Spend it. Spend mm-hmm. that $50 on whatever it is. And I might be broke, but I refuse to die hating my life. All I will not deny myself of any moment that brings me joy. Mm. If it's people, person, thing. So if I only got $50 in the bank and I want ice cream right now, and my friend wants ice cream, bitch, you broke, I'm broke too, but let me go get us some ice cream. Because yeah. if I may not got it, but I got you. So, you know, that side quest. But so, yeah, like I refuse to let the weight of money. I used to be so stressed out. And people don't understand that. Like, when you have to think about money, you think about it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like when you go to want to buy a book, it's so ingrained that you can't even buy a book that you want for real. Cause you know, I need cat food. Bitch, I need food, but my cat eats first. Feed the baby, mm-hmm. you know? And so like, I just decided that I can't care about money if I don't care. It's a concept. It is fake. Mm-hmm. Right now, if we all stop believing in it, we could just exchange rocks. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to just trick somebody to start, hi, sir, I have some Topex. Like, what'd you give me for this onyx? Like, bruh. Honestly,
I would be willing to use rocks as currency because I love rocks. I have just I don't know if it's in here, maybe in my den. I literally found a rock on the beach and I've had it for 2 years. I would love to do that.
Now, I'd be like, oh, you've had this? This seems unique. I will give you a PlayStation 5. We turned all into goblin people. It's great. Like, let life happen the way it's supposed to. And so, like, the idea. Y'all ever notice how we refer to men, unless men end up doing something wrong, or like it has something to do with like, ooh, bad boys. Like, men aren't referred to boys. You can't walk in to a group, a room full of men and be like, what? Hello, boys, without somebody getting offended. But women, we're so engraved because we're not allowed to age. Yeah, why is it called black girl magic if you're 55 years old? Why is it not black woman magic? Why is it because girls are created to youth. Women are not allowed to get old. So then when you really cycle around it, we are taught, we believe that when we hit 30, everything goes downhill, right? Like, my lower back. Bitch, my back was hurting at 22. What happened is we have been all told in your youth, when you were in your 20s, work as much as you can. Get all that overtime, girl. When I was your age, I could do all that. We are taught to break our bodies while we're young. Mm-hmm. And then sure. By the time, you feel me? So by the time we start getting older, it feels like everything's going down. No, bitch, because you didn't work 80 hours a week. You were up drinking Four Locos and espressos and fucking partying and all that shit, not drinking your water and doing your goddamn yoga. And now you 27 with a fucking lumbar problem. Like, mm-hmm. Because we're taught to break our bodies down. Youth doesn't stop at the age of 25. Like when people say, oh my God, Letitia, you look like you're 21. No, I look like a 29-year-old because I'm young still. But because I am no longer 29, you see a young face and you don't accredit to 29. Baby, this is what 30 looks like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is true.
Yeah.
We both get told a lot, like when we meet people at the poetry slams. They're like always shocked when they find out that we're 27 and 28. Okay, what did you think I was going to have gray hair by
right,
now? Like
right.
I feel like people think that everything needs to happen in your 20s when really it's the 30s where people can keep their lives together. Mm-hmm. Because you figured it out by the time you're on the tail end of your 20s. So your 30s is where you got your shit together.
Oh, and it's like I spent my 20s in prison. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to have fun like antics where I went on road trips with friends and stayed out drunk all night. I didn't get to experience that. I didn't get to start living until my 30s. I got out when I turned 28, when I was about to turn 28. My 30s is when I'm going to start living. Like I make that, you know, I'll be like, let's get ready for season 2 of Letitia. But I'm dead serious. Because like, I am still young. And I know myself more. I am happy to start my 30s because I am not. Yes, bitch. Like, I can't wait. I turned 30 this year, bitch. I say season 2, y'all, because your 20s is your season 1 and everything else is the pilot season. It's like they want to see if the network's going to pick it up. Let me tell you, I try to cancel mine, girl, but they're like, we're going to keep you. Like, we're gonna pick you back up. This show has potential. We're gonna go ahead and throw it in for season 1, bitch. Like, yeah.
I love that energy. I love it. I love that energy. That's great.
But yeah, just I'm more self-aware. I'm more conscious. I speak loudly now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what it was about last year. So many things happened. For like black people, you're good. Like a lot of things started crumbling in the black community that was toxic. And like, stop calling black kids who don't sound like you white. You know, boom. You know, hey, little black girl, correct them every time they say your name wrong. A lot of people don't realize how powerful that is because now I no longer make myself uncomfortable. For people's comfort. My name's Letitia. Hi, Letitia. My name's Letitia. Oh, yeah, well, you said Letitia 3 times. Like, I'm going to correct you every time. I'm not going to shorten my name anymore for you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do that anymore for you. And I always love the summer. But, like, loving my skin when it gets darker. I love it. I love that shit. You know what I mean? I can't. It's a whole vibe. It's like, and like the conversations that people are having, the fact that it's not okay anymore to just have the Confederate flag. Like, it's not. It's like when Little Nas X end up, I explained to my friend why Montero was so impactful, that song. I'm a lesbian. I have a vagina. I'm a cis. Black, I am a cis, I don't know how to say that shit. I am a cis woman lesbian. I don't know. I'm still learning pronouns, you guys. I went into prison with 2 things and came out with the United Nations, okay, y'all? Think about that. That's such a culture shock. I went in with 1 flag and came out to 20 of them. I'm like, I don't know who representative I need to speak to, but I just want to get to the rainbow. Like, what's up? And, just direct. They them are there. Hey, baby, what's up? Hey, you fine, Captain? because they're they them, so I respect your pronoun. And even though I'm gay and I'm a woman, I don't identify, besides being black and gay, in a sense, with Lil Nas X. But his song Montero, it was like the video, it was like as if this, it was as if this weight has been lifted off every queer person who's ever grown up in church, who's ever had that little bit of fear, what if? That moment we saw him slide down the pole and walk in them heels with them baby hair on point and not only twerk, but kill the devil. It was a moment. He threw it back and snapped it. I didn't see it. Throw back and tap. Oh, I gave myself whiplash. Oh my God. hold on. Give me a second. The whole right side is angry. It was like in that moment, we no longer care if we go to hell. If you said I'm going to hell, then I don't care. I'm going to live my life happy. And like, I as a person who no longer subscribes to the Christian faith, I as a person who knew I was gay at the age of 6 and knew that God loved me no matter what, I didn't even know that I had that little bit of weight on me. Seeing somebody black and queer literally do what, you know what? You said we were going to hell. Well, baby, we're going to style and we're going to throw a party. Because if Lil Nas X is the devil down there, bitch, I'm just saying, it's about to be lit. I mean, me and Carrie spin fire anyway, so we can be like, call me by your name. Scoop. Scoop. Throw back to the titty. Just so many things I've grown to love me. I've grown to not just because people, this whole thing about self-love, people don't realize it's not just about self-love, it's self-acceptance. Because once you can accept yourself, you can love yourself. Mm-hmm. We spend too, you know what I mean? Sometimes we're too busy looking at flaws that we refuse to see our own perfections that we don't realize how great we are by accepting it. And I accept the fact that I have a chip in my tooth. And guess what? Chicks dig it. I smile with my crooked smile. I'm on my J.K. Cole Smith. I don't know what I just said. Who is J.K. Cole?
J.K. Cole. Not a J.K. Cole.
Yeah, J.K. Cole. Cole World. No relations. It is just like, yeah. Like, I totally forgot what the heck I just said because of all that happened. And I just pretended like I was coming off of it. But no. I don't know what I literally was. We were talking about, but boom, call me by your name.
Self-acceptance.
So acceptance. Thank you. So once you accept yourself, you love yourself. Mm-hmm. And when I started accepting me, my mom struggled with her weight and my mom would buy new clothes every trip. And my dad would say, Benita, you should get rid of some of them. And he's like, no, Sylvester, because I'm keeping them from when I lose weight. So I started not buying clothes anymore. I didn't want to buy clothes because I know I was going to lose the weight. Why would I buy something that I would eventually not wear anymore? And then I was like, no, that's stupid. You only have so many t-shirts and basketball shorts, Letitia, before you look like a bum. Okay? Get it together. And then like, so I started with buying underwear that was my size. Not trying to fit into my sausage mini M's with these thicky nicky thighs I got. And then I started buying clothes. And like the moment I started to love myself, it's like everything fell out. I started to feel better in my weight. And then so like my body, I started to follow it. Next thing you know, I am working out because I want to. And sometimes I don't or whatever. I'm doing things I love. And now I'm a little bit skinnier than was I were. But it's not about being skinny. It's about being comfortable. I accepted who I was and loved me big or small, that it's like, regardless if I am 200 pounds or 150, bitches want to scoop. Scoop. And so like, yeah. So there you go.
I love it. You got a question?
I love it. I wanted to ask you, if you had a favorite poem that you've read, and if you want to read that one, or if you want to read any of your poems for our show so they can hear how awesome you are.
So, like, part of me wants to read a poem from somebody, because I want to, you know, I love other poems. I would love to read Aisha poem, but I don't have one. I only have a video. Oh, yeah, I record you, bitch. I record you. Me and Carrie recorded you. We were like, this shit is fire. Oh, okay. In the spirit of being your guest, I shall read a poem because okay. I am a poet, right?
Yes.
I started doing these self-love things, and I started writing things I don't deserve 3 months ago. Like a list of things, like what do you don't deserve? You don't deserve to not sit in the sun and like other stuff. And like, you don't deserve to not put your feet on the grass. Yeah, you know, self-love, self-acceptance. Remember, self-love isn't selfish. All right. So, I made this little quote one day. To be a poet, in order to expose the world, you have to expose yourself. Boom. Scoop. I don't like that.
I like that a lot.
All right, I'm ready when you guys are. Scoop.
Go for it.
Oh, okay. It's called Let Me Tell You About Her Hands. Let me tell you about her hands. How they heal more than sore muscles and swollen feet. How just one press of her palm eases the tension in my soul from years of people-pleasing and passive aggressiveness. From childhood trauma that crippled my legs from having to be strong too young. Releasing pressure from my shoulders from carrying my mother's hate and depression. Needing the knots of stress from overthinking and panic attacks done in closed dark rooms or bathtubs drenched in tears and tap water. Her voice playing in the background to not just center but ground, but to be grounded. Flowing through the ears like honey untouched by humans, humming calmly to soften the voices of self-doubt. Drowning out the crashing sound of not being good enough. The room is her body, warm and safe, the smell of lavender and daisies, mint and sage. If Mother Earth was a perfume, that would be her fragrance. I feel the lactic acid of toxic relationships drained out of my pores as she squeezes tendons and tissues. Funny how it's just more than a massage, it's therapy. There you go.
Good. I like it a lot.
Okay, so I have basically a 2-in-1 question. Why haven't you done a spot at the Dayton Poetry Slam, and can we expect a new book anytime soon?
What do you mean by what do you mean by spot?
Like a feature,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know I could. I was just always wondering if they just ask people. They've never asked me. I would totally do a feature.
Oh, I feel like God. If you talk to Link, you could definitely get a feature.
Yeah. You should ask.
You should. You have a book?
Book. And then you could promote your book.
Yeah, people will purchase your book.
Let's fucking do that. I love you guys. See that? God damn it. I love women just help being there for women. Like, bitch, why ain't you in a feature yet? Because I don't know. Well, bitch, ask questions. I used somebody in prison used to say, closed legs don't get fucked. Wait, first of all, you don't need your legs open to do that. Second of all, ew, that's vulgar. Third of all, I don't know that. I just so happen to be a lesbian. And so I've been working on a book. I started it in the beginning of the pandemic. And then the pandemic, like I started in January and then life happened and capitalism, because that's a bitch. And me and capitalism are beefing. My body hurts and you owe me money. So if anybody can tell capitalism they owe me money and a new back, that'd be great. But it was called, the title of the book is called A Million Reasons to Smile.
Aww.
Because yes, I love Aisha. She was like, it was like this, it was like perfect. It was like one of those smiles, like one of them. I like that. That's solid. Because I'm kind of glad that everything happened up to this point, because you never stop growing. The moment you stop growing is the moment you die. But I am maturing in myself that I'm seeing more and more and more and more reasons to smile. We live in this world. It's like a friend helped me out, Julie, I love you, bitch, helped me get furniture once. That's her name. And yeah, and she was just helping me get furniture. And I remember like telling her thank you, and she's like, don't worry about it. And I started crying, and she's like, you don't have to cry. And I'm like, it's just, I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what to do. She's like, because kindness, we live in a world where if somebody screams, I hate you, we don't even bat an eye because we're so used to it. But if somebody holds the door for you or pays for your drink in front of you without you knowing, it could literally change your week and put you in the tears, because kindness is not normal. And that like hit me. Like I was crying for something good. I mean, I am appreciating it, yes, as it should, but I'm crying because kindness is not normal. Pain is. Mm-hmm. But the only way you can have pain is to appreciate, the only way you understand pain, the reason why we have pain is so you can appreciate joy. I refuse to die hating my life. And I've been inspired throughout writing poetry as poets, and really with art, any art form, we're always, our best stuff comes when we're fucked up, right? When we're like, right now there was I can't remember her name. There's this amazing Black woman poet. God damn it. And she did a poem. It was incredible, where she talked about being like women's issues, like being like dealing with the wage gap and the sexual assault, and also being Black. And like, just like basically there were two poems in one. She would bounce back and forth, never comparing, never nothing. And about writing it. And at the end of it, she says, the people say, we're so tired of hearing it. We are so tired of hearing it. And she said, can you only imagine what us poets must feel like to have to write it? Mm. And so, you know, heartbreak, boom, I can dish out six poems, you know, death, I can push out a poem, mommy issues, all this shit, you know, pain. And it's like, it's so hard, or pride. Like I've noticed like my poems, if they don't, it's just like, I don't write enough to be happy. No, I don't write enough to talk about how happy. I don't write about the kindness in the world. The reason why I breathe every day, and the reason why I refuse to die hating my life. Like poets, going in to see my friends Morgan and Aisha take the stage, mm-hmm. and record that, and knowing and listening to that and being inspired, because Aisha gives me a reason to smile. Morgan and her glasses and her fucking brain, and the fact that this bitch won't get up on stage, but just being so woke, fucking woke as fuck. Which, by the way, like, another thing, it's like the whole Black Lives Matter and everything that happened made us like really, it drew people's colors out. It drew real people's colors out. And let me tell you, the people, our allies, our non-POC brothers and sisters who are here, who are having those uncomfortable conversations with family and cutting them off, the standing up for what they believe in, making sure when we can't be the voices in the room stepping up, like we were talking in the beginning, it's going to be real short, but we were talking in the beginning about like, it's white women are fetishized and all this and that, and that a lot of black men hate Black women. And it was like, people who are pro-Black typically date outside their race, because people who are quote unquote pro-Black aren't as pro-Black as they see. Like, we're pro-Black, but they're pro-Black men. Not pro-Black mental health, not pro-Black women, not pro-Black, you know, businesses. No. It's just pro-Black men. And a lot of us don't get along with Black people because of those reasons. I used to think the reason why I had a lot of white friends, you know, because society made me feel like I wasn't Black enough, you know? And then I had those white friends that didn't say racist shit and just loved me for being Letitia. And it was because it wasn't that I couldn't have black friends. It wasn't the fact that I had more white friends because I wasn't black enough. It was that black people didn't accept me as my own, but the white people who rode with me were the first ones in the room to say something when I couldn't. You know what I mean? My friend Amanda was the first one to be like, hey, is that cop bothering you? I had a friend named Tiffany. Tiffany, one night, I was sitting in my car, told us at a story slam. I was 18, still in high school. My phone was fucked. Like, I couldn't call because it was back in them days when you had the phone plans, but I could text. And like, I was sending her text, but I didn't know if it was getting through. And the neighbors, whose daughter I dated, called the cops on me because they saw a suspicious car with somebody black in it. And the cops walked up to me. And I'm 18. This is my first interaction. And as a black person, we all know the standard procedure. We are taught that by birth. And I stared forward, had my hands on the wheel. And I remember the cop asking, like, all right, so the first words out of his mouth, how many warrants you got?
Oh.
And I'm like, people say I look like I'm 18 now. So imagine what an 18-year-old Letitia looked like. I look like a child. And I'm like, I'm just here waiting for my friend. Well, do you? And as soon as that, Tiffany pulled up. And like, Tiffany hadn't even got my text, but she got out that car. And I was like, that's my friend Tiffany. I didn't even get to say my friend Tiffany because Tiffany got out and walked over and immediately was like, what's going on here? And he's like, do you know her? And she's like, yeah. Do you know what she's staying? She's like, yeah, she's staying the night. We hadn't discussed that. But Tiffany's like, she's staying the night at my house. And of course, those cops never apologized. They just walked over and spoke to Tiffany and then walked over and talked to the neighbors, and the neighbors never apologized.
It's fucked.
But the thing is, like I said, it's because it's like the black people in my life weren't as serious about the as much, because like my mom used to call me like little JJ's brother from Good Times. I was always about like the Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. I was always about the movement. They even called me that in prison, but I was the first black person. You know, I'm the first person that gets told that I'm white, that I sound right, that I'm an Oreo. And it was because black people, we're not taught to see something that's not, that's the stereotype, whatever is that's not the stereotypical norm is not blackness. And so then when we date outside our race, that's right. So our friends, our white friends, just like when we date outside our race, when I end up dating somebody who is not black, when I date a white woman, that white woman is not working on her, it's not just working on her racism. She's working on her sexism, her ableism, her this, that ism. She's working on all the isms across the board. She's not just trying to be better for me. She's trying to be better in general. And like, I feel that's why a lot of, especially black women, end up dating outside of our race, because we have somebody who is seeing us when we don't even get seen in our own community. You know? Morgan sees us. I don't know if Lamar does. I don't know if Taekwon does. I don't know if Kanisha does. But Morgan sees us. And so like, just like learning, like, hey, the people who are really there are the people there. And those people are worth holding on to. And guess what? I love my white girl. My white woman, because you're not a girl, because you are a grown up.
Did you have any other questions, Morgan?
I
think I got all my questions.
That was a good ender, I think, too.
It's going to end. Hi, love my bisexuals in. I love my white women.
Letitia.
Now's that time for that really fun thing called self-promotion. Do you want the listeners to follow you on Instagram, or maybe perhaps Poi Boys, if you want to promote that, anything you want to promote?
Thank you. Yes, I'm part of a fire troop, but me and my best friend, we created, it's called Poi Boys. We're on Instagram, Poi Boys 937, POIBOI 937. 'Cause like poi, but boy, but we're great. I'm also, you can follow me on Instagram, Letitia Ellis, Facebook is the same. You can also follow me on TikTok as That Guy Letitia, and like all my stuff because I'm black and the algorithms hate that. You can follow me on Snapchat. I'm cool. The Snapchat's great. It's still Letitia.
But yeah, you can publish, you can check out my book on Amazon's Raw Poetry Made from Scratch. All the proceeds go to me and not capitalism. I'm kidding. The Amazon takes some of their cut, but I get some of it, and that helps me do things like put gas in my car and, like, you know, not stress about buying groceries sometimes. You know, it's I'm like PBS, you know. Nothing like this is made without viewers like you. Those commercials used to make me so happy because I really thought I was doing something too, and we were
watching it. Yeah, we was
making us feel, thank you for making me feel included with my contribution. We should do to the world what PBS did to us. Every little thing, boom, you contribute. You know, don't recycle that plastic bottle, because it's viewers like you that keep this world alive. Captain Planet. I'm in this microphone. Does this sound like loud?
Yeah.
Why did y'all just tell me that? I'm just like, this audio is gonna be weird.
Yeah, our audio is never good, so it's fine.
The audio is
come for the quality audio here. They come for the quality conversations.
You're right. So you can follow me on Instagram at i-ish-ug. You're gonna do all the other stuff.
You can follow me on Instagram at certified_morganic. You can follow the Goodreads Better Friends podcast on Instagram at Goodreads_BetterFriends. You can follow us on Twitter at gr_BFpod. You can find us on Tumblr at GoodreadsBetterFriendsPod@tumblr.com. That is where you're going to find our show notes. So I'll make links to a lot of things that we talked about today. I will put links on the Tumblr so you can check it all out. And then also, if you ever want to send us an email, tell us what you think of the show, or send us some art that you want us to promote, our email address is GoodreadsBetterFriendsPodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Black Jesus! Black Jesus! Scoop.